The Dog and Joe Show on 93.7 The River. Call The Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
Hey, Jenny, good morning.
Thank you. This story is not about me. It's about my mother.
Okay.
Okay, so probably back in 78, she divorced my father after she found pictures of him with another woman. So prior to the divorce, she took the Jeep that he used to go camping with this woman and had it painted pink. In the divorce, when she got the Jeep back, she changed the license plates to Ha Ha Al. So that was what she did.
Ha Ha Al.
Wow. Yep. And see, that for being cheated on was not that horrible leveling. It was just a little bit, hey, you shouldn't have done that.
That was like Damone. Well, you know, Damone. He didn't pay for the abortion. He woke up that next day, and on his his gremlin was written Little Prick. Yeah. And he had to drive to school with duct tape and cardboard.
Yeah, he did.
And the kicker is he was a police officer in Sacramento. Oh. And my mother worked at a restaurant where everybody went. So that was kind of in his face.
Wow, that's a good one.
I appreciate the share.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
And this, remember, take care. Had it taken place a little bit later in time, that pink Jeep would have been macho and badass, because I want you to remember a little song by David Lee Roth called Yankee Rose, where he drove around in a big lifted pink Jeep.
Did he?
Yeah, so if that would have happened in the 90s, you know, Ha Ha Al would have been pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that's true. When all the neon colors were hot.
766-9370, we're talking about this because Harvey Weinstein, the scumbag, you know, he's going to divorce his wife, or his wife's divorcing him. They say she's going to get $15 to $20 million in the divorce. She still hasn't filed. That's only 10% of his worth, because they say he's worth $250 million.
So much money.
It is a lot of money, but think about the people out there. Like we said, if you make $50,000-$60,000 a year, you own a home, you got a car, more people out there would clap and cheer at paying only 10% after a divorce. That's nothing. That is really just nothing that he has to pay her.
Yeah.
So, and again, it hasn't happened yet. It's not finalized. That's why we're talking about this. What did you get, or what did your husband get? What did she get? How were you leveled in divorce? What did it cost you? What things did you lose? Let's talk to Lane. Lane, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Hands free radio, baby.
Oh, yes, you are, neighbor. Woo! Go ahead, Lane.
Yeah, after you say hands free, then you talk.
Yeah, right. So, as quick as I can do this, my ex and I, just shortly before we got divorced, bought a house outside of Winchester, Virginia, from a woman who won that house in a divorce. Just less than 2 years later, my ex and I ended up getting our divorce, and I let her have the house. The thing is, when she announced her divorce, she tried to force me into committing suicide. She did a lot of twisties. She didn't win, of course, because I'm here talking to you. When I moved out of the house and she moved in, she moved her boyfriend in, that she'd been seeing for a year. They got married just a few months later, and he had been hiding his severe mental illness from her, got afraid that she was going to find out about it, stopped taking his medication, just cold turkey, which you should never do, and ended up committing suicide in the garage.
Oh, my golly.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we're talking instant karma here, okay?
Whoa. Or is the house
haunted?
Or karmically screwed up.
Is it a divorce house?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the big house?
And the man gets just hammered in it.
Whoa.
Interestingly enough, that house had been on the market for a year and a half before we bought it, because everybody in the area
knew
that it was a divorce house. And then when she tried to sell it after her next husband
committed suicide,
it's been 15 years now.
And the house is still vacant.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Man. That thing needs to be dozed.
Yeah. Whoa.
Doze that thing down, start from scratch.
I've always told you nothing will bring you savings and nothing will bring you a deal like a tragedy.
Woo.
Meaning, if you're looking for property and you could stomach that kind of stuff, that's how you get those great opportunities.
Why would you want to move in that if you're a married person?
I see. Would you do it?
Hell no.
If this house was beautiful and it was cheap,
I know you would.
I would. You know, back before we bought our house, I told you I looked at thousands and thousands of houses. I love real estate.
Tell that one.
We were going to buy a house.
Awful.
And this was an amazing, amazing house. Huge square footage, architecture, everything. I'm a house geek. We love this house. And the neighborhood, everything. badass house, and it was affordable. The guy had fallen. He had some sort of cardiac arrest or some sort of health issue. Tripped, fell, hit his head on the coffee table. We were the first ones there to see the house. And the agent that took us in at the time said, hey, don't mind that big blood stain there.
Oh,
the carpet's coming out.
Oh, man.
And we could see where the man had perished. He crawled after he hit his head into the shower. There was blood that went through the tile. You could see the whole crime scene. It was total CSI. That still did not deter us.
As a matter of fact, it almost intrigued you.
Not that
you wanted to be in a house where a man died, but you thought it was somewhat, not cool, but somewhat, I don't know if intrigue is the right word.
No, it wasn't intrigue. What intrigued me was, is I knew we could lowball the hell out of it. And this isn't a time when the floor just fell out of the market.
It certainly didn't bother you in any way, shape, or
form. No, it didn't, and I wanted it, and that damn house sold, because we kind of messed around, we dragged our feet, we weren't too sure, we were looking at something else. It sold like 30 days after we looked at it.
You need to look into that property and see if anything happens 5-10 years down the road, if the man, you know...
The same people that bought it are still in it.
Really?
I don't know if they've lost lives or anything, but yeah, they're still living in that damn thing.
I would take every coffee table out of that house immediately.
Joe, bulldoze it. Bulldoze it.
That divorce house needs to go.
Yeah, well, the divorce house, yeah, a little more sinister. 766-9370. Scott, D-Day story. D stands for divorce. What'd you get or what'd she get?
I got screwed because I was, for 5 years, we were separated. And it was totally amicable and everything was fine. And then I went to her one day and said, we need to finalize our divorce because the girl I'm dating, we're going to get married and move along and my kids like her and everything. And we were trying to work out an agreement. All of a sudden she cut off contact and I started getting letters from lawyers. And when I responded, because I got a little bit angry from what was going on in text with some choice words, never threatened her, never anything. I now have to go turn myself into jail tonight. Tonight, after I get off of work, I have a warrant for my arrest for a restraining order for calling her a name.
Via a text message through the phone.
Yeah, and then they got the restraining order, and we were texting about she's trying to mess with my custody, too.
Okay, but hang on, Scott. I want to
go get a restraining order for calling someone a name?
If it's a threat and they're going through and this stuff's kind of toxic, meaning they're going back and forth.
Actually, what they said was it was a toxic conversation that we were both doing. I got a little choice in my words, but because I used the name over and over and over again, they said it constituted harassment.
Oh, God, yeah.
Were there any text threats? Did you make any text threats?
None. No. You know what? I have lived...
What happened to you? Where are you?
I'm here. I'm sorry. But no, I've lived with the thing. I would never, ever, ever threaten or hurt or anything a woman. And so it kind of goes against who I am as a person. And she got... And it was literally all just because they said it was harassment because of the words that I use. And it literally says in the verbiage of the restraining order that if at any time at all in a conversation she feels unpeaceful, I can be violated on it.
Oh, so you didn't read the small print and you didn't think when you sent that text, and now there's digital proof. It's on her phone, man.
You know what happened, brother, you've got a woman and she moved in with you.
Yeah.
And you were going to move on and get married before your divorce was finalized, and it hurt her feelings, and instead of it being amicable, she was like, okay, screw that, I'm going to burn you.
But moreover, it sounds like he hurt her more, you know, with this new girlfriend and the kids like her, all that stuff. But let's look at the small print. You violated that restraining order because you did not read it thoroughly or clearly.
No, he got the restraining order from those texts.
No. But hold on. You were served with that restraining order, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had the text before meaning he had the paperwork before he sent that text.
Is that true? I thought you got the paperwork because of the text.
No.
I initially got the paperwork because of the text, and I called her a name. And then as the...
Oh, then you continued texting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what it was? Is I quit texting her. Then something happened to where we were talking.
Then he got mad again.
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Because I was serving something else to do with the custody of my kids. We started texting.
That was another thing I had learned from buddies, too. When you're going through the process and you're in that courtroom or that mediation room or talking back and forth with your wife or husband, Cool heads, calm heads.
Oh, you've got to be professional, respectful. Yes. You have to be up and up.
You cannot give in to anger and your temper.
Which county jail are you going into tonight?
Sacramento.
For how long?
Well, luckily I looked into it before. I just went down and turned myself in. I set it up with the bail bondsman. I'm going to go in and pay them, and they're going to walk over with me. I'm going to be there a couple hours.
You're going to go in, process, you're going to hang out, and then they're going to pull you out.
Yeah, but the thing about it that's also, you know, kind of really a bummer besides that is now that's another, because of this whole thing, that's another $500 I'm going to have to eat.
I got you. Man, read the fine print. People don't want to do it. It's annoying, but you got to. I wish you luck. You know, all these people going to work right now, they're like, oh, my God, it's foggy. I can't see. I want you to think about Scott.
Oh, man.
Has to go into jail tonight, Sac County. He has to drive down there and turn himself in, even though he's got a bondsman. He's going to walk out in a couple hours. That's what his Friday night is shaped up for.
That's awful. That I had no so idea bad,
that, that it would go down this road when we asked the question.
It gets so crazy out there. You got to keep calm heads. You cannot argue back and forth, man.
766-9370. Scott, appreciate the share. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah, good morning.
Yes.
Hey, Sarah.
I'm calling to let you know that I just recently got through a divorce, and listening to his story reminds me of playing nice. You have to play nice no matter what the other person says.
Always.
Even if they sell off the assets and lie about it in court.
Now, what did you have to give up, or what did you get? What did you receive? Quickly.
I gave up everything, the house, the car, the toys that we had.
So you got nothing.
I got nothing other than alimony and a payoff, a small percentage of a payoff, because my ex-husband was making close to $60,000 to $70,000 a year, and he lied about it all in the courts, along with slandering me.
Okay, well, we don't know if that's hearsay or the other. What are you making alimony-wise, if you don't mind? If you do mind, just say I mind.
Barely hitting it on the nose.
So it's okay. Just barely, okay, yeah. And that happens, too. That happens, too, where they'll fight and argue in court, and you'll just have to pay or the judge will get mad that you're fighting and arguing. He'll hammer you even harder.
And what do you do, though? See, that's the thing. That's the biggest frustration. Appreciate the call, Sarah. What do you do? How do you mind your manners? I fly off the handle at little things.
You just got to suck it up, they said.
How? How do you do that when you see, especially when there's children, when there's human beings involved, and you're going to lose custody, or they're going to move out of state?
And matters of the heart always bring you to temper quickly.
I mean, how do you negotiate that? Because, like, if I came home today, because it could happen today, should have happened yesterday, should have happened, you know, 22 years ago that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, get your stuff. No. Sweetie, I'm sorry, and I'm going to remain very, very calm and collected, but I'm going to have to dig a hole, and I'm going to have to dig quick. And you know what? The neighbors aren't going to see it today because it's foggy, and I'm going to put you in it. Because, I mean, that's what I think that the rationale for almost everyone that goes through a divorce is, but you can't do that because then you're ended up in jail.
Well, it doesn't work.
What do you do?
If she says, we're going to get divorced, and you say no. No, we're not. I don't want to get divorced. You get divorced anyway.
Yeah, no, I know how that part works.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, you could, I didn't want to get divorced. Now I'm divorced.
766.
I had no say in it.
9370. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, boys.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good.
D-Day story. D stands for divorce. What'd you get? What'd you lose? Quickly.
All right. Joe, this is Kevin, the one that made it through possible divorce.
Oh.
I'm talking about my first marriage.
Right on.
Anyways, basically she asked me for a divorce. I ended up with my kids, my truck, and my tools. Gave her everything else, walked away.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a win. If you got the kids.
The kids, yeah.
You know, because a lot of people give up everything and don't get the kids to boot.
That's the only thing I would have fought for if that was going to happen would have been kids. My kids.
And that's the only reason I kept a cool head. You know, through the courts, through everything. Let her be the idiot. You know, she flew off the handle and was drug out of mediation, you know, by the bailiff.
Oh, really?
Not just one occasion, but yeah. It made the divorce easy. Let her be the hothead.
I just being the fly on the wall, we see the movies, we read the stories. I bet those divorce attorneys, those judges, those mediators, man, the stories they could tell because of the anger and the language they hear and the stories that come out. What about that time you were with your whore? And sitting in that mediation room, man, that stuff has to just be slung. There's mud all over the walls and the fist of cuffs. And
we couldn't be in the same room.
Oh, they separated you.
Yeah. Yeah, she was, and I could see her through a window. That made it even worse. I couldn't even be in there with her, dude. I mean, I cried through the entire thing. It was awful. She was in one room. I'm looking at her through a window. The mediator guy's coming back and forth, and I'm like, we're not fighting with each other. Why can't we be in the same room together? He's like, that's our policy.
So now they separate them just to keep, because you know people show up with guns, and you know they start pushing it. I mean, that is just angry, tense stuff.
Yeah, it was a really, really sad day.
Well, I appreciate those who shared. 766-937. We didn't get to you. We got more cash coming. We got to do another Dog and Joe show, too. Two rounds of that coming up. We got those coveted Dog and Joe t-shirts coming. Hold on.
Dog and Joe.